I'd like to ask you all to stand, and we're going to read Revelation 12 together. One of the most exciting chapters of Revelation. It now gives a whole shift, because next week, in our next message, we see the Antichrist and the one world government, which is just sitting behind the scenes right now in this world. And I'd like to just give you some little slight indicators. Euro dollar, US dollar. Get oil prices headed towards $100 a barrel. The Euro community, the problems that are happening between us and Mexico and Canada. And now we're putting restrictions on Canadians coming across the border in Buffalo and other areas. The pharmaceuticals being sold out of Canada on the internet to the U.S. These are just little strings that you can start following. The death of Terry Schiavo, that the President of the United States of America got involved, the governor of the state got involved, the Supreme Court sort of got involved, but judicial power overruled the legislative branch of our government, and we can see there's a struggle with the Constitution right now, the gay marriage issue, the cloning issue. Ladies and gentlemen, you're living at the end of the age, and this is an exciting time to be alive. But don't be numbed in your skull and be a numbskull. Be a part of the situation and let God use you, not as a radical, right-wing, conservative, religious, moral person, but a real, honest person that can think through the issues and see where you are and gently and lovingly help articulate that people are lost. The simple thing like the cross off of Mount Soledad. You've got to wake up and realize we're right here, chapter 12 tonight, and we've already seen the beginning of the tribulation, but once the governments change and this one ruler comes on the scene, I mean, just the death of the Pope is a big shakeup. 1 million people the first 2 days went by seeing him laying there in St. Peter's. 600,000 today alone. People are lining up for more than 24 hours to stand in line. And you realize here is this media just zooming in on that, a media that doesn't like the church and speaks against the church, but they're making a lot of money off of showing the leader of the church being dead. So there's a lot going on in the world today and a lot of things being manipulated around us. The war in Iraq is only a distraction to get people magnetized on one thing, but have you forgot about Afghanistan and the world's poppy population for the heroin of the world? And the same thing was over in Vietnam and Cambodia, the poppies and the heroin growth. There's just a lot of sleight of hand going on. Get in the Word of God, open up your newspaper, and you're going to start seeing things a little bit differently. Are you with me? Are you with yourself? Okay, as long as you're not beside yourself. Okay, let's read out loud. I'm reading from the New King James Version. You can read from whatever you want, but we'll read verses 1 through 17 together in unison. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a voice, a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, For the devil has been down to the earth because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great angel, and when she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow. Good reading, by the way. You all get gold stars next to your name, okay? Lord, may you bless this wonderful audience with not only your word, but your presence. I pray that you'll just step right in the middle of this gathering and your presence would begin radiating so much love that we would feel like our hearts are going to explode. We pray, dear Jesus, that you would just pour out love upon us and that we could understand this 12th chapter, that you'd give us understanding. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand, and change our lives that we would be committed to you, Lord. Committed, that we would give ourselves to you and for what you want done in this great city of America, San Diego. And that this congregation could do great and mighty things with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God flowing through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 12. I've divided it up into four sections that you could look at on your own. First, we have this woman, and some of you think you know who she is, and some of you know who she is. And then some of you wonder, who is this woman? And then the second section that the focus and the spotlight comes on is the child that the woman is pregnant with. Heaven is the third focus because it is mentioned. And the fourth focus in this 12th chapter is the dragon or the devil. So we're going to look at all four and we'll do an expository overview and zero in as the spotlight shows these four basic areas because this is what the chapter is about. So in verse 1, we are introduced to the woman. And I'd like you to underline in the person's Bible sitting on your left side a great sign, or in some of your translation, now a great wonder. Because this is important, because the word great means just enormous. This is big, whatever it is. Some of the translations for this word great was used to talk about the immensity of the universe, or the size of stars. So this is huge. John is telling us he saw this great sign appeared in heaven, and here's the sign. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. So this great wonder has captured his mind, and he's wondering exactly what it is. Now, the Catholic Church and many of its scholars see the woman as Mary, and of course the child as Jesus. But biblically, it wouldn't be Mary, because you realize there's, as you go through the chapter and find the five verses specifically talking about the woman, it's not a singular situation of just a pregnant woman that's going to give birth in Bethlehem. Now, I want to show you a little bit of background by going to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And I think that you can begin to see who the woman is before we even finish the study. So go to Genesis, chapter 37. And if you're new to the Bible, it's the very first book in the Bible. Genesis, and Joseph was the dreamer, and he had all these dreams. But if you will follow along with me, we will look at verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the boy was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And so he had made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and then, behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, Your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more from his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed still another dream and told his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers were jealous or envied him, but his father kept this matter in his heart. So here is this picture that we're seeing of the sun, the moon, the stars. Here's 12 stars in Revelation. And in chapter 37 of Genesis, 11 stars, 12 tribes. Now, Joseph, of course, would be one of the elders of Israel. So the picture here that we see that brings the wrath of the devil upon this woman is Israel. And the fulfillment of the prophecy that the 12 tribes of Israel would be the woman and Israel would go into this promised land. And ultimately, these brothers who hated him so much, and remember they're half-brothers, and it was a dysfunctional family in the first place, and Joseph, being the son of the old age, was just so loved by his father. And if you're a parent, you just don't want to show favoritism to one child over the other. It breeds a lot of contempt. And as it says here, they envied him, which you cannot envy somebody unless you have jealousy in your heart for something they have or something that they are. So there was great jealousy and animosity, and they weren't a team as a family. So here's the woman with the sun, the moon, and the stars. And here's this reference, and you can go back in Genesis and other places and begin to see Israel forming as this. And it says in verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And so you'll remember that Israel did have labor and pain, that the Pharaoh had died, and there arose a new Pharaoh that knew not the Lord, or knew not Joseph. The previous Pharaoh turned everything over to Joseph. This Pharaoh was wicked and mean, and he hated the Jews. And there was great birth pangs for Israel. When they left, the angel of death came through Israel. They had the frogs that were everywhere, and Moses did all these miracles. And frogs were in the house, and frogs were in the halls, and frogs were on the walls, and frogs were everywhere. That didn't get their attention. Then there was lice that came everywhere. And then all the water turned to blood in Israel, the Nile River. They poured water out of a pot. It turned to blood. Just one problem and pestilence came after another, much like what is headed towards the world today in this great tribulation period. And then the final one to get Pharaoh's attention, God said, you go to Pharaoh and tell him the firstborn of everyone, including the cattle, is going to die. And all the firstborn of Egypt began to die, and the firstborn of the cattle. And God gave a way out. He said, for the Jewish people, his children, you take a lamb that's unspotted and unblemished, a picture of Jesus, and if a family is small, they can share with their neighbor next door. And you go into that house and you prepare that lamb and you take the blood of the lamb and you put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. And at midnight, as the angel of death comes through and he sees the blood over the doorpost, he will pass by and your family will live. Well, that's the Passover feast that we're talking about during this Easter season. This is the Seder dinner that Victor is going to oversee with Rob Glickman and show you what all the elements mean concerning the Passover feast. But when you look at that picture of the doorposts and the lintels, the crown of thorns, the hands with the nails in it, the blood, and it's the same of the door to your heart. If you've got the blood of Jesus, it has cleansed you of your sins and all unrighteousness, the Bible says. So we have this picture, very picturesque, in verse 2, the pain of these children of Israel, as they're called, going through the Red Sea, going 40 years without any Mervyn sales or anything going on, you know, no Nordstrom's, the same shoes for 40 years, the same clothes, no food except for this angel food that God sent, the manna from heaven. So here we are with the picture unfolding here. And I'd like you to take notice, and this time you can underline in the person's seat on your right. And another sign. Now notice it isn't a great sign or wonder, it's another one. So it's important, and it is a sign. Notice it's a sign. And that there's something for you, and each one of us could see it maybe from a different angle. So the labor and the pain of the birth of Israel coming forward. And what is this sign? A great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns or diadems on his head. Now you remember in chapter 6 that there was a rider on a white horse. And he had a crown. But his crown was the word Stephanos. And Stephanos was that of a conquering hero or a winner of an Olympic game, where the diadem is of a sovereign ruler. Jesus wears a diadem. Now these heads that are represented with the dragon are authority and power and royalty, like governments, we could say. And they're tied together with the dragon. They're part of what he's doing. And they're on his head. So there's a great sign here. Great fiery red dragon, seven heads with the crowns. And then in verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That's interesting. The stars is another word for angels. That there was this conflict in heaven, which is the last place you'd expect to find conflict, right? But have you ever found conflict in the church? Yeah, there's always some conflict. But the devil caused conflict. He left his high seat of being one in the midst of the majesty of God and wanted to be in charge himself. So his tail grabs and influences a third of these angels, and we know there's millions upon millions upon millions, and threw them out of heaven. So he took them with him. He convinced them. And many times people convince you or me to do something that isn't right. And we get to be a little rebellious. Recently a publisher sent me a manuscript of somebody they were publishing and said, would you endorse this book? So I started reading the book and I looked at it. And it was talking about Jesus. And it said Jesus was a rebel. And that sort of got me wrong. I knew what he was saying. He was counterculture. So I emailed back to the editor and I said, how old is this man and that's writing the book, and what's his denominational background? Because it sounded like somebody from the 60s in the Jesus movement that would have, they used to have bumper stickers of Jesus, you know, being the leader of the revolution like the communists were on the college campuses. And then I said, do you realize that Jesus couldn't have been a rebel? And he said, why not? And I said, this is just, you know, very splitting hairs, but stop and think of this. Samuel says that that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So how could Jesus be a rebel? And they said, oh, you're right. How about revolutionary? And they said, well, think it through. I mean, you're going to give an attitude of Jesus that isn't really scriptural, let alone who he is. He's counterculture. He's going against everything, but he's not rebellious. You never see him once in the New Testament rebelling against Caesar or Rome, ever. The only people he ever got uptight with was the Pharisees, simply because they weren't fair, you see. And they were always holding the people back from getting to God. And the Sadducees, and they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And anything that would hold people back from God, he would go at it with them. But he wasn't really a rebel. The devil was a rebel. And he took a third of the angels. And you got to realize that they're influencing everything on this planet. And they're much smarter and more intelligent than us. And so without the grace of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and access to the throne of God by prayer, we don't have anything. But the Word tells us we can put on the whole armor of God, so we know we can win in this battle if we do it according to the Lord's way of doing it. So a third of the stars and the angels are drawn out of heaven, and he threw them to the earth. So this shows what kind of a leader he is. You can just get the picture of this big tail wrapping around people, and then he's throwing them to the earth. He didn't send them to Pluto. He didn't send them to Goofy. He didn't send them to Saturn or Venus or into another solar system. He sent them to this planet. Now, why do you think he sent them to this planet? Because he hates God. And you were made in the image and the likeness of God. So he wants to destroy anything that is good with God. Somebody on the radio was today talking about one of the number one financier and leader from the American Civil Liberties Union that is like the front person for the radical gay movement in America. That it's all a ploy to use the gays to accomplish their goal. And you stop and think of this, that when people are doing things that are unseemly, one body with another body, and doing things in toxic areas of other people's body, how degrading to God. When you're made in the image of God and he made them male and female, if Satan can grab an imagination and say, don't worry about that, we'll get rid of that book so you can do what you want to do, you realize that he's really angry. And this is the target, is all those people that came from Adam that were made out of the dirt. So he hates your guts. So he knew where he's going to go with these angels. Come right here, and he's going to set up a whole deceptive plan to deceive you and to deceive your friends and for generations infiltrate. So what does he infiltrate? The education system of every nation? The religious system of every nation? How about the oxygen? Because in this body you have to breathe. So smog and pollution? How about the water system? So put some fluoride and some strychnine and some arsenic into the water systems. So slowly you're always feeling kind of goofy. You never feel completely right. How about fluoride in your toothpaste? And so he infiltrates all the things that a human being needs, and he destroys it because, you know, it slowly beats your body down, and now you're a little bit goofy and drugged, and you're not clear thinking, and so he puts things in front of your eyes that you begin to accept, and you start paying $10 to go to movies that are glorifying the things that put Jesus on the cross, and you're numb, and you don't even realize it anymore. So these angels, these fallen angels, have you in their scope. You're the target. So that's probably why it was here and not to Mars or Venus or someplace else. They were thrown down with violence to the earth. And this dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So a third of the stars, heaven is in battle. They come down and come to our planet. And I found it interesting in Daniel, if you'll turn there for just a moment. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And look at chapter 8. And it says this, if you will turn there, look at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. Now remember, to John, he saw a great wonder or a great sight. Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time I saw in the vision, and it also happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai, and then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there standing beside the river was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the other one came up last. The higher one came up last, and I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there only that could deliver from his hand anyone. But he did according to his will, and he became great, this leader. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and he ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground, and he trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land, towards Israel. So it moved towards Israel. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars in the ground and trampled them. And he then exalted himself as the high prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And because of the transgressions, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. Would you say that out loud? He cast truth down to the ground. He did all this, and he prospered. And then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said, that certain one who was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. And he said to me, for 2,300 days, and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Now, isn't it interesting, in a picture of the end times, and the temple is rebuilt, and the daily sacrifice is going on, it's truth that's going to be covered up. It's truth. Now, Jesus Christ said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How in the world can you know truth if you're not reading your Bible? The Word of God is truth. And if you're lame on the Word, you're lame when it comes to truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So you need the truth, because this is what is happening in our country. The truth is being beaten down. It's the truth that's being attacked. The truth of humanity. The truth of compassion. The whole issue of euthanasia. God breathed a breath of life into a person. Government doesn't have the right to pull a plug on somebody. Your life is precious. Your life is very precious. I find it very interesting about this male goat in verse 8, grew up very great, but when he was strong, the large horn broken, so he lost some of his power. In place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven, and out of them came a little horn. Didn't seem like much, but this is what we're going to see in our next message, chapter 13, this Antichrist coming on the scene. Great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land, and it grew up to the host of heaven and cast down some of the host, and some of the stars to the ground trampled them. So at a time when Israel is recognized as a glorious land and a temple is emerging, this is when you see a picture from chapter 12 of the tail wrapping around a third of the stars, casting them down to the earth. Otherwise, we are going to get involved in a huge demonic increase all over town and all over the world. Harry Potter is probably one of the number one recruiters for witchcraft in the world today. When you take witchcraft and some of the sayings in the movies or the books of Potter, they are not just children playing at sorcery, they are being trained just like you have children that go to Sunday school and learn the scriptures. I think the demonic influence of the third of the angels coming down is going to increase and increase and increase. You see Buffy the Vampire, Lulu the Witch, or whatever her name is. You see all of these occult movies on television, totally acceptable. And then what comes with it, desperate housewives and adultery and fornication and the fruit of the flesh, that witchcraft is spreading, voodoo is spreading. Those of you that are in the United States Navy, you know when you cross that line your first time going towards Asia, you do the voodoo deal and you get your little certificate and you get to hang it up and say you went through the initiation. It's all in fun. Hold it. Anything that would worship God or turn your adoration towards it from God is idolatry. And it's blasphemous. Be careful of the things you are involved in, the video games you are playing, the movies you are watching, because there are spirits behind it and they are trying to destroy you. You must guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. So Daniel comes on the scene and he's warning hundreds of years ahead of John, there's going to be a time when these angels fall to the ground and truth is trampled on. Go to the book of Jude, the little one-page book just before the book of Revelation, and join with me as we look at this one verse where he mentions it to us. Go to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Would you look at verse 6? Look at verse 5. But I want to remind you, so this is a memory deal. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, otherwise you must have backslidden or forgotten. You once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, remember coming with birth pangs and labor, out of the land of Egypt, afterwards, would you read this out loud with me? Destroyed those who did not believe. And what is it the demons are going to be pounding on? Truth. Don't get away from the Bible. If you're just visiting and you attend a church where the pastor doesn't get into the pulpit with a Bible, get out of that church. If it's you're reading somebody's outline, get out of there. If the outline is on the screen and nobody's opening a Bible, get out of there. You're in trouble. The cross is an offense. And people are offended by the cross. And the Word of God is an offense. And you need to use it in your life. Do not be associated in the name of Christ with any organization that doesn't lift up the Holy Word of God. This is where the truth is really going to be pounded on. And the issues will be challenged about the truth. Get it out of the schools. Get it out of the public marketplace. Get it out of everywhere. And people will not be able to think clearly. The demons are not dumb. Now look at the next verse. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. These are the angels. They are going to be heavily, heavily judged by God. So in chapter 12 here, verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, who is this male child? And what is this rod of iron? Well, if you'll turn with me to Psalm, the second Psalm, Psalm 2, you'll see pretty much who it is. Psalm 2. Why do the nations or the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This is just like the United Nations today. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cords from us. They don't want anything to do with heaven. Get the cross off of Mount Soledad. Get the Bible and prayer out of school. Let us break their bonds and their cords, any attachment to heaven. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree that the Lord has given to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. And do you remember John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him never perish, have everlasting life. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Therefore, be wise, O kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So I think we now know the woman, Israel, the male child, Jesus Christ, ruling with the rod of iron. And then the woman fled to this wilderness place, and God had set it up for 1,260 days. So the Lord has already gone ahead of them for hundreds of years and ready to protect them. But let me encourage you tonight about this. God has already gone way ahead of you. He's way ahead of you. And you may be facing some rough times right now, or you can see down the road you're going to be going through some valleys of the shadow of death, but don't fear any evil, for God is with you. He's already got it taken care of for these people, so he's got it taken care of for you too. He's going to work it all out. Just give him a chance. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord, that are called according to his will and purpose. Give him a chance. Just trust him, and he'll take you through it, no matter how horrible it'll be. So they flee into the wilderness, 1,260 days. And then verse 7, war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. Now Michael means who is like unto God. That's what his name means. And I didn't name myself, so I'm not trying to say that I'm like unto God. I find it interesting that since my father's side was Scottish, my mother's side was Irish, that the Scottish side is Michael Kirk, who's like unto God, and Kirk is the Scottish word for church. And then God, laughingly in heaven, takes me from my crazy insanity and makes me a servant in the church. He's got stuff planned for all of you. And I just want to encourage you, get into the Bible like you've never read it before. Spend time in prayer like you've never prayed before. And God's hand is going to come upon you, and supernatural things are going to start happening. But you've got to get into his word. He wants you privately, alone, where he can minister to your soul. This is the end of the age. very, very few minutes left ticking on that clock. And the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, always be together with him. We need to comfort one another with these words. We need to have purpose. And our purpose is get into the Word of God, hear him call you. When he calls you, make a commitment to the body of Christ and serve him because he's ready to come back. War breaks out in heaven. So Michael stands up and he goes to war with his angels, fought against this dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So it's like a Star Wars deal going on in Luke. They're fighting up there. But they came here. So they're here. They control it all. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. They were cast out. So Michael is somebody very, very important. If you will go back to Daniel to chapter 10 and look at verse 13, you'll see that he has a very, very important job in God's kingdom. In verse 13, he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. For the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia has withstood me for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." So we know that Michael is a strong and powerful angel. Look at verse 20. Then he said, "Do you not know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of what does it say in your Bible? Truth. And this is what the demons are going to beat up on. Truth. They don't want you reading and memorizing the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. Fall in love with the Bible and you will fall in love with God. So they will beat up on the truth. Then he said, "Do you not know why I have come to you and how I have must return? I have gone forth. Indeed, the prince of Greece will come, but I tell you that what is noted in the scripture of truth, no one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Now look at chapter 12, verse 9. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the time." So everything Daniel's passing on from God and this presence of Michael being there, very important. Now, we'll close with this. Back in the book of Jude, there's this little obscure verse that some people say, well, what does that mean? But it has to go, again, with the end of the age. He said this, verse 9 of Jude, "Yet Michael," speaking of the demons, we'll look at verse 7, "Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner, these having given themselves over to alternative lifestyles, sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but rather said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So Michael, who is a guardian, basically, of Israel, a high-ranking prince, he stands up face-to-face with the devil and just says, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's all you have to do. You don't need to arm wrestle the devil or say, "I can outsmart you," or try to be Keanu Reeves talking to the devil. No. Just "The Lord rebuke you. I haven't got time for you." I love what Martin Luther said. He was awakened one night in his bedroom and he heard this rustling going on. And he turned around and Satan was standing in his bedroom. And Martin Luther looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you." He turned over and went back to sleep. And that's how you treat him. Just, you know, he's a worthy adversary, but don't give him the time of day because he's going to seduce you with the apples. And you don't want the apple of your eye to lead you astray. So there you are. We got Michael coming up to battle. And next week we'll get together and we'll finish this chapter and look at the battle as it comes together and the attack on planet Earth. And then we'll look at the rise of the Antichrist and these leaders that form a one-world government coming out of the old Roman Empire, the European nations. And it's all lying there before us. And we need to be prepared with the truth of God. "Thy word I've hidden in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Take the word of truth. Love the word of truth. God will honor you as you honor him by becoming a person that is of the word of God. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We thank you, God, for your great love for us. We thank you that just as you have been centuries out ahead of Israel as it flees from the wrath of the devil and the Antichrist, you have prepared a place for her. And so we know that you have prepared for us. You've prepared it for the people on the internet, the people on the radio, the people that are listening on CDs or DVDs or CD-ROMs. You've prepared it for us in this auditorium. You've been way ahead of us. Now we've showed up to what you have prepared for us. And we take into our heart your exhortation about truth being trampled in the last days, and that the holy truth is something we want to hide into our hearts. And it's the truth that you want us to lift up in the midst of the darkness of San Diego and this dying country of ours. Lord, we believe in your word and we believe in you. And we pray that you will help us be soldiers of the cross to take the word of God to all of our neighbors, to all of our friends, before it's too late. Would you give us a new compassion that we've never had before, Lord, a fresh compassion for people? And would you illuminate our heart and our understanding with a thirst for the Bible, that we could get to know you more intimately and be able to have the answers for this dying world? And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come upon everyone that is standing before your throne right now. I ask that you'd baptize us all afresh with the Holy Ghost right now. You'd renew our energy. You'd renew our strength. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come deeply into our souls and surface things that are wicked or dark or evil, that we could confess them and be forgiven. Lord, I pray for the body of Christ that your Spirit would free them from all the tentacles of the world that is wrapped around them like the tail of the great dragon and has seduced them to come closer to the world but further from the throne. And I pray, Lord, you would release many to answer the call of God on their lives, that they would be your servants. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our city. You'd just cause an evangelistic explosion and a renewal and a revival to flush through all the congregations with a freshness. We humbly ask you to forgive us of our pride and the things that do block communication with you, and that we could have a second chance to be filled, overflowing, and accomplish the great things you want. Now, for those of you that are standing before God, you've heard some things that have startled you and stirred you up at the same time, and you want to get right with God, and this is very important. He has prepared this night many years earlier for you. And so I want you to do this. The Bible says, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Some of you are right at the edge of the cliff, ready to go over into an abyss of darkness for eternity. If you want to have your heart right with God, and maybe like in Daniel we see that you have walked away from the truth, it's time to come back. Just pray, dear God, that you will forgive me of my lifestyle. Forgive me for walking away from you, and forgive me of all my sins and transgressions. And I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse me of my sins. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would come into my life and give me eternal life. God, I surrender myself to you. I don't know what this means or what's going to happen, but I know you're there. And I ask you to forgive me and give me another chance. Now, if that's your desire and that's your prayer, would you just, while everybody's praying, look up at me and hold your hand up? I'd like to remember you and pray for you. God bless you, sir, and you. Two of you right here. The three, four of you right here. Yes, sir, I see you right here. Yes, gentleman there in the sweatshirt in the back. Yes. Over here right in the middle in the white shirt, I see you, sir. Way in the left, last person in the auditorium over there, I see you. Yes, ma'am, see you right here. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Some of you, this is going to be too good to be true, but your life is radically going to change tonight. You're never going to be the same person. You won't even believe who you are once God takes over and loves you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, the last row on my right. Yes, sir. Lord, you've seen these people. You've seen their hands reach up, but more important, you've seen their hearts reach up to you. And all of us that know you'd say, thank you, God, for speaking to them. And we pray for them right now that you will change their lives for eternity and that these will be your future leaders and your Sunday school teachers and your loving people on the streets and at work. And we pray for every one of them that you will help them out of any mess they find themselves in. They will miraculously be delivered from situations they have gotten themselves into that are not lovely, are not good at all. We pray you'll free them, and we pray for the body of Christ you'll free us to love you more than we've ever loved you. Now, receive our praises, Jesus. As you hear us sing from our hearts, God, inhabit these praises. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.